Here we are, Top Rock, May the 2nd, afternoon, 4 o'clock, and now we have an author to talk about his book.
My name is Steve Marsden. I'm British. I moved here 4 years ago, and the last 3 years I've been researching the case of a little girl, a three-year-old girl who was claimed to be abducted in Portugal. She was a British girl called Madeleine McCann.
I think a little more volume would be good.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's hard to hear you.
Okay. Well, I initially went back to England in 2007, in about the third week of May, to visit my family. And when I got to the airport in London, there were posters of this little girl everywhere. There were flyers. And I thought that this girl was a famous person, probably a royal. I'd never heard of her before. But in England, from May the 3rd, when she went missing, up to, well, all the summer of 2007, this disappearance of Madeleine McCann was a daily headline news story. And I quickly got up to speed by reading the newspapers. And immediately I thought that the case sounded like there was something wrong with it. The facts of the case weren't adding up, didn't make a lot of sense. And at the end of 2007, in the November, I set up a website called truthformadeleine.com, and in the first year I had over 6 million hits, and it was probably the first website that was taking an alternative view to the mainstream media and asking the sort of questions that people were asking on the street. And the mainstream media were giving this story that the parents were victims of a heinous abduction on their daughter. So the story started basically in April the 28th, 2007, when the parents of Madeleine, and they're both doctors, by the way, the husband is a cardiologist and his wife was a general practitioner, they went on vacation to Portugal for a week with three other couples and another lady. So there were nine adults in this group, predominantly made up of doctors, and they were all friends at medical school. They had eight children amongst them, all toddler age, and Madeleine was three years old, almost four, and she had two twin siblings, 2 years old. What transpired was that the adults in the group had been leaving the children in a daycare facility at the holiday resort during the daytime hours, and then at night they were leaving the children unattended in their respective apartments, and then they were going out to dine and drink approximately 120 yards away. Now, on the Thursday, May the 3rd, which Ted informs me is his birthday as well, which is very applicable for the story, the mother claimed that she went back to the apartment at 10 o'clock at night, and the daughter Madeleine was missing. And her first claims were that the girl had been snatched through a jemmied and broken window into the bedroom where the children, all three children, were sleeping. She informed the police at 10:40 that night, and the first police arrived on the scene about 11:50, and basically 11 minutes later, and the first news story in the United Kingdom said, toddler feared abducted, Portugal, at 1 minute past midnight on May the 4th. Okay, darling. Well, the remarkable thing, obviously, is, you know, how a newspaper could get hold of this story 11 minutes after the cops have just arrived on the scene. And as we would see over the next few months, there was a lot of British consular and diplomatic involvement in the case, and it was unprecedented. People couldn't work out why the British government were taking such an interest in this case. Now, the husband, Madeleine's father, worked on a government committee, a nuclear committee, which was probably the only involvement in the government that we're aware of. He was on a panel that decided whether the people who live near a nuclear power station are influenced by radiation from the power plant. So obviously his reports are going to be very useful to the government as they expand a nuclear program throughout Europe. But on the face of it, we really don't know why the British cabinet, and we're talking of not just the cabinet MPs, but we're talking about Tony Blair, who was the Prime Minister at the time, and Gordon Brown, he took over in June of 07. They both had personal contact with this family. So pretty much all that summer, they were just the grieving, everybody was seeing them as the grieving parents of this tragic crime. And lots of little stories didn't add up. And in July of 2007, the cops getting nowhere, they called in a specialist dog handler called Martin Grime, who has a cadaver dog and a human blood sniffing dog. And he was brought in as a last ditch resort, really, just to search the apartments. The family had rented a car. Anyway, Martin came over, and for a week his dogs went through 10 apartments. They went through the vehicles used, well, the vehicle used by the McCann family. And bear in mind, they stayed in Portugal after she disappeared. They didn't go home, they stayed there. And as I said right at the beginning, there were daily news stories, headline news in Britain. This was incredible. This is the biggest missing person case ever in media history, I suppose. But the dogs, the first dog went in, a cadaver dog, and found the scent of death behind a sofa in the apartment and in the closet in the main parents' bedroom. Then the human blood sniffing dog went in and found, well, alerted in the same exact places. So this was remarkable. The cops then did DNA testing that was done simultaneously in Portugal and in Britain, just to alleviate any thought that there was a bias in the in the findings. And the next place that the dog searched was the vehicle used by the McCanns, and the testing was really meticulous. They used a freshly laid parking lot with a freshly laid concrete, so there was no contamination in this place before they put the vehicles in. And the dog alerted in one vehicle, and it was in their hire car in the trunk. So again, the blood sniffing dog went in after the cadaver dog, and also alerted to the smell of human blood. The samples were sent away, and at this stage now it had become a homicide investigation, although there was still no body. And the cops took the parents in on September the 6th, 2007, and they made them official, what they call in Portugal, arguidos. And an arguido is like an official legal status where they have particular rights and they have to report to police stations at certain intervals. The day after they were made arguidos, they fled Portugal. And the first thing they did when they got back to England was they hired a lawyer called Michael Kaplan. And Michael Kaplan was famous in Britain because he, in the late 90s, defended General Pinochet, the Chilean dictator, who went to Britain. He had an illness. He went for some medical treatment. While he was in Britain in the 90s, Spain tried to extradite Pinochet for his war crimes. I mean, this is a guy like Saddam Hussein. For some bizarre reason, Margaret Thatcher, the former British Prime Minister, she rolled out the red carpet and had this guy over for tea. I mean, he was treated like royalty. And Michael Kaplan successfully defended him against extradition to Spain. So bear in mind, that's the caliber of lawyer that was used by this family. And of course, the media thought that he was employed to prevent the family's extradition back to Portugal for prosecution in this case. But what I did with, as I've been researching the case, I never believed that story, and I thought that, this is not a family who could afford the caliber of lawyer that we're talking about. This guy represents millionaires and billionaires. With some of my researches that I did independently, I found that General Pinochet was actually, according to a Freemason lodge in Canada, is actually a top Freemason, and the firm of lawyers that prevented his extradition were also high caliber Freemason lawyers. They've defended a lot of Freemasons in the past. I don't know if you're familiar, in Britain we had the IRA bombing in the Omar bombing several years ago, and there was a massacre in Northern Ireland called the Sunday Bloody Sunday massacre, where innocent bystanders were shot dead in the back from British paratroopers. Well, the law firms that represented the British government in those cases was this same Freemasonic law firm. The main cop who was on the case, he was the British government conspired to get rid of him during the investigation. He was on the case from May the 3rd up to his birthday on October the 2nd, 2007. And the British Prime Minister knew about him being terminated before the man himself. So the cop being fired from, you know, the case, he took early retirement, and he wrote a book called The Truth of the Lie. And this book sold from, in 2008, it was a bestseller in Portugal, sold 400,000 copies. And there were revelations from the police investigation that we were learning about for the first time through this book. Simultaneously with the release of his book, the Portuguese police released the 30,000 page police file, 20,000 pages of which they couldn't actually release because it was for where people give anonymous tips to the police. Obviously that has to remain anonymous, but almost 11,500 pages were released. I have a copy of that. And going through the file in minute detail, the first thing was that the stories in the media just didn't make any sense. There was it was a pure spin story from day one, including, like I say, the first news story appearing 11 minutes after the police arrived. The mother of Madeline, she kept a diary, which was confiscated as part of the police file. And in it, she refers many times to personal phone calls with Tony and Gordon. Of course, that's Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. So again, we have to question, what was this family's involvement with the government, and why did the government conspire to cover up this story? What happened in September of last year was the McCann family, they've always hated this police inspector's book, The Truth of the Lie, because it's basically telling the truth and it paints them in a bad light. And last September they hired a firm of lawyers in London called Carter Ruck. And Carter Ruck are the most feared libel lawyers in the world. British libel law operates on the basis that the defendant has to prove that the libel didn't occur. It's, you know, most legal jurisdictions, the onus is on the plaintiff to prove beyond reasonable doubt that something occurred. British libel law is the other way around. So it makes it very difficult for people to defend against high-powered lawyers in libel suits. But the McCanns, again, you know, they have this Michael Kaplan QC, this Freemasonic lawyer. They also have Carter Ruck, who they used to file an injunction against the police, the guy with... Shush, Andrew. They used him, this firm of lawyers, to file an injunction to have this book banned in Portugal last September. And the hearing was in January of this year, January and February, actually. And the Portuguese judge, she upheld the decision. And so it was like so this case has not only involved like a British government conspiracy to cover up the story for whatever reason, it's also involved, you know, an attack on free speech. Basically, Portugal has free speech like the United States, and you know, this family has conspired to prevent the publication of his book. So with that in mind, that's why I started last September writing my own book, because I'd almost got 3 years worth of information about the case. And I finished the book in March, and it's 103,000 words, and I could have written three of these books because there's so much material I had to leave out. And I was doing a talk this morning and somebody asked, well, what's the big deal about this story? And the point is, it's yet another case of the government conspiring and overstepping the mark to cover up a story. And I think that cover up is probably worse than whatever happened to the girl. And you know, yet again we've got another case of a big Western democracy, you know, conspiring to cover up this. I think it was a death. And I actually think it happened on May the 2nd, not the day the parents reported. So also an element of paedophilia involved. We had I don't know if anybody's aware, but in about the year 2003, there was a joint police sting operation between the Americans and the British. It was called Operation Ore. It was called Operation Landslide over here. And it was a police sting operation to catch people buying child porn online. And they set up a fake website, and people who were buying this porn were using their credit cards, and they were tracking the people through the trail of the credit cards. They ended up with over 7,000 names on this sting operation. And when the story first broke in Britain, it was said to include over 7,000 names, including a few celebrities and several high-ranking cabinet MPs. So the first question everybody wanted to know was, well, who in the government is on this Operation Ore list? Well, we never got to find out because the government suppressed the story. If you go onto the internet, you'll find that Operation Ore stories were all heavily...
Spell the Ore.
Operation Ore, O-R-E. And there was some well-known celebrities on this list. I think it was Pete Townshend, the musician from the group The Who, was one of the guys on the list. But there were several, as I say, cabinet level MPs. And for several years now in Britain, there's been a suggestion that Tony Blair and Gordon Brown are involved in this material. And it ties in very nicely with a lot of stories. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Dunblane massacre. That was in 1996. It was a gunman went into an elementary school in Dunblane, Scotland. He shot 16 five-year-olds, and then he shot the teacher, and then he shot himself. The story was, they had an inquiry, a government inquiry, and Lord Cullen, who was a top Scottish advocate, he led the inquiry. And he covered up the whole story with a 100-year protection order, which is, we have like a 30-year, a 70-year, a 100-year, and even, secrets from World War II, or, 70 years is probably the maximum. Why 100 years? What was so secret that needed covering up? Well, I've been in touch with a paramedic in that case who was at the scene, and she was describing how the first man on the scene with this carnage, who saw the gunman who'd with two holes in the roof of his mouth and two bullet holes in the wall behind. Well, I'm not aware of anybody who could blow their brains out twice, but this man evidently did. And his autopsy report was concealed from the inquiry under this 100-year protection order. The professor who did the autopsy allegedly claims that he has the guy's brain in a jar somewhere, which the off-duty policeman said, there was no brain left. I mean, so that story, again, involves allegations of paedophilia, because the man who shot the children, this is kind of pre-digital camera age, where he had his own dark room at home, and he was a Freemason. He was fraternizing with lots of Freemasons in the judiciary and in the police service. And the suggestion in that story is that there was an elite paedophile ring, which is what comes out of the police file and the truth of the lie, and this book in the McCann case. So hopefully something will give in a year or two. I don't know. We have an election in Britain this week. Gordon.
Who's going to win, probably?
Well, Gordon Brown won't win.
He won't win?
No, I blame money on it. Yeah, he's kind of like Bush was to America, in the last election. So.
Are you in America temporarily, or have you moved here?
No, I'm a permanent resident. Yeah, I live here, yeah.
As of when?
4 years ago. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, my background is basically I've been a computer programmer most of my working life. 18 years I designed video games. a lot of household games that are designed, people would know the names, Grand Theft Auto, Austin Powers, Cliffhanger, lots of products. I've also been a pilot since 87, and I served in the Royal Air Force, so just a kind of a range of skills. Probably like Ted, I'm interested in a lot of the conspiracy theories, and that's pretty much the story. So I don't know if you've got any questions, but
stuff, or is it more accepted?
Well, the problem in Britain right now is, and this is another thing that I mention in the book. Britain right now is Marxist totalitarian state. I hate to say it because it makes it sound like Russia back in the Cold War, but it is our politics is not this dual party politics anymore. What's happened is that it's just run now by this series of think tanks, and these think tanks are all employ people who've been communists or attended Marxist schools, and these people are advising the government, and the government are just puppets. They're just total puppets. In Britain, we have the most closed-circuit TV cameras in the world. If you drive down the street, they just mail your speeding fines. They have the software reads. I mean, this is not recent. This is 15 years. When I was living in England 15 years ago, we had speed cameras. We have to watch the British. I know this sounds quite funny, but everybody in Britain has to pay for a TV license to watch TV, and you know it's $250 a year, and that is the most vigorously collected tax in Britain. You know, we have basically, if you go to your street and you know there's no license registered at your house, you know they knock on your door, why haven't you got a TV license? You have to prove why you haven't got one. You know. Well, that's what you've got to prove. They have a system of detector vans that go around.
Things that circle, really scary, like a radar thing.
Yeah, but they go around neighborhoods. You might say you don't have a TV, but you know this detector van is picking up the signal from your house that hey, you do have a TV. So.
It's legal extortion.
Yeah, it's just a tax, but because it's ostensibly it goes to fund the BBC. But you know, it's supposed. How can it be independent and free when it's a governmental tax system? So the worst aspect of this case was the way that the media covered it, and it was just spin, constant spin of lies and deceit. And the problem, nobody in Britain has ever recorded these facts from the police files. They have just turned it on its head. So you know there's something being covered up.
Do you think it's more open there than it is here?
No,
things are more covered?
No, not at all. No. The big danger is you don't want this to become like Britain, that Marxist totalitarian state. It's a police state.
Unfortunately, it is.
Well,
that's where we're headed. That's
right.
That's what they're trying to do.
But people here. You know, talking about your FEMA camps and all this thing, you think it's on its way, but I'll tell you what, you're a long way away from what we have in Britain now, because we've had decades of this.
Where you going? I can probably
think of it. I'm next door to Mary Lou. I'm down in Rock Lake, South Charleston.
Lookie, Daddy, lookie.
Oh, okay.
Lookie, Daddy.
I just need her car seat out of the car, lookie, that's all.
Lookie, lookie.
Oh, hey, darling, yeah.
Can I keep it in here? Can I bring it in here?
You can, darling.
Tanks on the radios, your car radios over there, too?
No.
I was over there
yesterday,
tanks
on
your car. Oh, did you? I wanted to comment on one thing you said about the elite pedophile thing there.
Right.
I just read a book about a year ago called The Franklin Cover-Up.
The Franklin Conspiracy.
Okay.
Conspiracy of Silence. It was made by a British company.
What you're describing is here too.
Yeah, I know. I know that story inside out. Yeah.
So that's probably.
Well, Discovery Channel got Yorkshire Television in England to make the film, and days before it was going to air, they pulled the plug on it.
I see, yeah.
And somebody leaked it onto the internet, didn't they?
Daddy.
Yeah. I just need the car seat, Mary Lee.
I'll get it.
That's all right.
Can I go?
No, you wait here, darling. We're not going.
Why aren't you getting the car seat?
Because we're going in a different car.
Why? With Mary Lou?
Yeah.
With Mary Lou.
Where are you going?
Have you done any investigation of the Lockerbie bomb?
Well, the Lockerbie bombing is another cover-up, isn't it?
Yeah.
The guy was supposedly got a few weeks to live.
Yeah.
He's over there. He's as fit as a, you know, he's...
You know, all the top investigators...
Oil.
You know, from the British, Scottish, and American government are all master masons.
Yeah. I run a website called thescum.info, and it stands for, it's an acronym, it stands for Scottish Cover-Up Merchants.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Sure about that? I'm pretty sure. Is that the case?
Well, it oil...
played a role.
Yeah, he wasn't the bomber.
No.
The guy... Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Right, he was released, but he wasn't the bomber. He was putting on false pretenses. They paid the guy in Malta, where he allegedly started his... He bought the radio set that he put the bomb.
Sure.
They paid that guy money. I mean...
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Just have a rest a minute. wow, everybody's here. Sorry.